Ano ai kā kua poroa me ki aro hapu me hana o maruhia ke anō ko wahine a haore no māo e hui hou me okou a hiki awa ke homaka.
Mahalo maruhia. Thank you all for joining us for another episode of Hawaiian at Home. This is season 3, episode 4, and we are really excited to talk about today's topic because, in my opinion and Malu's, it is probably one of the most important things in life ever.
What is it?
What is it? It is happiness. And you might be wondering, what does that have to do with Hawaiian language? Well, the reason why I wanted to talk about happiness was because I guess we'll just jump into it.
Okay.
We'll just jump into it.
I don't know where you were going with that.
I was going to talk about it. Okay. All. I was like, that's the point of the podcast. But the reason why specifically right now it's come up is because, you know, Malu and I have been, we got married, we started learning Hawaiian together. You've heard our story now probably a few times. And in our search for living in Hawaii, being able to sustain ourselves here, have children, like go after our dreams and goals and ambitions and doing all these things, I have struggled with finding peace and happiness, specifically happiness. And Malu actually does really well.
I haven't sought after it. I haven't struggled finding it. I'm just very content.
He's very content. And it has such an effect on everything you do, whether it's being a mother, your business, being a student, being a teacher, being a parent, learning Hawaiian. Did I already say that?
Yeah.
Learning Hawaiian. So we wanted to talk about happiness. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I just think that, I mean, learning your second language is kind of an add-on to life, you know? Mm. I mean, you have to work and things like that. You have your family. But yeah, adding a language is something, yeah, it's just an add-on.
I like that. So you it's have making to, me think of like an app on your phone. Like,
yeah, it's an app on. So you have to, if you're not, I don't know, healthy.
Because
you're essentially talking about like mental health. Thing. If you're not healthy, then yeah, it doesn't go very well. I've seen that with people specifically with Hawaiian language where they really want to, but their home situation is chaotic and uncomfortable and unhappy. So it really makes learning anything.
Yeah,
I mean, put Hawaiian language aside, learning anything, picking up anything, or being successful with anything, very difficult if you're not centered. And yeah, you just have to be happy. Be happy with the situation that you're placed in and your work life and whatever you've been given or the trials that you've been given. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why we wanted to bring it up, because if you want to be successful, honestly, in learning Hawaiian, you have to find a level of happiness in learning Hawaiian. And so we're going to share some stories of specifically how Hawaiian has brought us happiness. And maybe they'll be different. Hopefully they are.
Mm. Wait, so you're talking about stories of where the Hawaiian language has influenced your state of happiness.
Yeah, I wrote down some of those
Not
examples.
You being happy and then Hawaiian language
well, do
being
you
mixed
want to
into
talk
it.
First
no,
about
I was just clarifying.
Well, that's good you bring that up, because for me, because we're very different. So then I think maybe you should delve into it, because like you said, you are naturally content, or like you're content, you feel happy. So that's not as much like me. I don't usually like wake up in the morning and I'm like,
oh, I don't wake up content. Happy.
Okay, that's fine.
You know that. But I wake up very upset that the world has waken me up. Sorry. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, the reason why I specifically wrote down like the connections to how Hawaiian language has brought me happiness is because that's kind of where my mind went. But it sounds like your mind is going to.
Well, yeah.
So why don't you talk about that?
I touched on it a little bit. It's just, I think that some people are more prone to being happy than others. I think some people are more prone to being
generous
than others. Kind. Mean. Vindictive and jealous. All those things. People, I think everybody has good. Their strengths and their weaknesses. So mine is definitely being content. Is
you think that's something you just have, or you don't think that's something maybe you've developed?
No, it's definitely something I've developed as well. Oh. I'm just saying that I think that early, I just from what my siblings will tell me, who essentially took care of me my whole life, that I was always just very. Relaxed, content, happy, just to do whatever. And, you know, I was fed. I had my toy. I was good, you know?
Yeah. Okay, that's something. So knowing you, being married to you, it's very true. Like, if you're fed and you got sleep and you have a toy, just FIFA on your phone.
Yeah, no, it's that.
You are very
changes over
and
time.
You know, you have your the people you care about.
Exercise around you. Makes me happy. Yeah.
Exercise, like even that one's not even I wouldn't even put that on the plate. But like those other things, like if you have those things, you really are
yeah, content very minimal. And
happy.
Yeah.
Any tips? Or because that's not that's yeah. definitely not.
Well, no, I just wanted to point out that I do believe from my seeing different people, my friends and family go through life, that some people are just they're given you're just some people are more prone to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to put that out there because it's not like you're starting at a different level. I think that's a mistake that people make with the pursuit of happiness is that they're yeah we all
they
started
see
at the same
doing
point
less and they think well how come. Like, you know, I look at you and I'm like, I'm fed. I got sleep. How come I'm not feeling the same?
Exactly.
So don't, okay, so not a comparison.
You can't really, So I put that, I put that out so that people don't misconstrue what I'm saying. And I think that's important. People forget that. We're all human beings and we want to have, where everybody's pushing for that, you know, equality overall and everywhere. And I'm like, well, when it comes to this, I've definitely seen that some people that I know are very prone to depression and they'll get into it very deep and very thick, very quick. And others are very lighthearted, and that does not affect them to the same degree. Mm-hmm. There's levels. Anyways, I think it's just knowing yourself. What do you need? Mm-hmm. You have to take care of like your physical needs. I think we all need to eat good food. You can't just eat out of a box in a can all the time. You can't eat out all the time. It does not do good things for your body. Right, it gives you low energy. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to eat live food. You need to eat good food. You need to sleep. You need to exercise. These are things that your body needs. So there's, it's not just like in your mind, and the power, or the weak, the strength and weakness of your mind is going to determine how and when you will get this achievement of being happy. But it's very simple things. Your body, if you have these physical needs that your body needs, so you have to give your body that. You have emotional needs. So again, we talked about different people that I know that have tried to learn Hawaiian, but their home life was very disruptive. That's something you have to take care of as well. So, and a lot of it's in your own power. So if you're not in a good situation, you're not in a good relationship, and you have the option to move, which you do, it just may be a lot more extreme than somebody else. You might have to leave the island if you live here, or a state or something. But you, that is within your power to do that. You can change your home life. You can make a more make it like a safe haven, right? Because a lot of people spend time in their home. And even if you don't, when you come home, you know, you don't, you want to make it a nice place to live in if you're going to survive through life. And anyways, I think you just, there's just things, I could go on for days. Just take care, give your body what it needs. It has physical needs, your emotional needs, spiritual needs, all that. You have to just make sure that those things are in line, which is kind of something that I've done for a decade now. Whereas I did not do that before, I was in better shape a decade ago, but I didn't take care of like my spiritual needs and my emotional needs as well. But I was in physically a lot better shape, if that makes sense. So the balance is always hard. I feel like I'm rambling now.
Well, then let me cut you off.
Okay.
No, it was good. One thing, when you were talking about like family and situations and those sorts of things, it brought up for me, when we talk about happiness, you have to define like whose happiness it is. So let me explain that. In the sense of like what the way I was raised was very like, I think I was pretty much raised like I thought my happiness was my parents' happiness. Like when and
like to make them happy.
Yeah, like what please. The things that if I did something and they were happy, therefore then, I am happy. And so
that makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't it? But look at me unlocking my.
Before we've talked about that before, but I don't think you've articulated it quite that clear.
There you have it.
Yeah.
So when you were talking, I was thinking about that where you have to be able to distinguish the things that make you happy and then the things that you do. And it's not bad to make someone else happy. Definitely, I'm grateful. I had such great parents, and the things that made them happy were good things. So I did a lot of good things. But then it just is never the same. It's never the same fulfilling. You never go as far. It's if it's not coming from your own source, bringing you that happiness.
But it has a limit, I think.
It far definitely more has a limit of bringing you happiness when you're chasing after something for someone else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really important to learning Hawaiian, like that was like one of the first, I don't know, first things, maybe we're not going to get into that, but one of the things where I started learning Hawaiian and I wasn't sure if it was going to make it. It wasn't for my parents. It wasn't for my friends. Like, it was one of those things where I was doing it not for someone else's happiness. And that's very much how I kind of, my personality is like, what can I do that'll make someone else happy? So it was one of those first things where I did it for me and for us and for our happiness. You want
to? No.
Okay.
So it was just for yourself, you mean?
Yeah.
In other words, this is kind of one of the first things that you started to do for yourself.
Yeah.
You weren't doing something for someone else.
Right.
To please somebody else. It was something you wanted, came from you, it originated from you, and you set out to do it.
So I guess just in general, I just wanted to, it just made me think of that when you were talking about setting up your life to be happy and those sorts of things, is like, make sure you're thinking about like, well, I'm doing all these things. Is it really making me happy, or am I getting like the secondhand happiness of making someone else happy? Because there's a limit to that kind of happiness, and you really want the happiness that comes purely for yourself. And on that note, it's okay to sometimes be selfish, to sometimes do things for yourself, to think about yourself first occasionally.
Can I say though, I don't agree with the word selfish in this case.
Okay.
This one is specifically to her being a mother of there's, I don't know how many break how many sometimes you have a breakdown. And it seems like it's out of nowhere from the outside, but I know exactly where it comes from. And it's, you have only invested time and spent all your energy on your kids and me and anybody else and neglected yourself. So for you then to think about yourself, I don't think it's selfish.
It feels selfish though. I'll put that out there. I know a lot of
I understand people that.
Like me, it feels really selfish.
I understand that. The mother's plight. I understand that, but so I'm from the outside perspective, but also very close to you.
Man's perspective. See, they're always thinking about themselves, so it's not selfish at
that's
all.
That's not true.
I'm just kidding.
No, but it's I compartmentalize far greater than you do. So when it's work time to work, it's work time. Work is done. I come home. It's time to take care of my kids. I take care of my kids. My wife needs something. I take care of my wife, right? I'm not running circles trying to take care of all these things at the same time. I just kind of take care of one thing and then it's done and then we move on. You've just done all these different things all at once. And then in you running circles, you get dizzy and you fall down and I have to go, okay, let's go. And then, you know, we have to work through it. Anyways.
You're talking about the selfish thing. You don't like that word. Or you don't
agree. Yeah, I don't agree with that. It's, you have to be selfish sometimes. It's just you have necessity. You have you have needs. I don't know, I was thinking necessities. But you have needs and you have to meet them. Just like you try to meet them for your kids or your spouse and maybe somebody else, your parents that you're taking care of. But you have to, before you put, you know, what is that thing on the airplane? Get your mask on first before you help somebody else. It's like a very basic but very true principle to live by. You have to be mentally taken care of and physically taken care of. You're not going to be able to help me out if you're limping on your way to me. You know? That's the way I think about it. You know? You're not going to be much help. I'm a lot heavier than you. So you need to have some strong legs if you're going to try to drag me anywhere. So, yeah, I don't think it's selfish. I think thinking about yourself and what you need and making sure that you're healthy is not a selfish thing. There is a point where it does become selfish if you start to neglect the people that you have. You know, if you decided to have kids and you decided to have a spouse, well, you decided to take care of them to some degree. Mm-hmm. So you can't just have it all on you, right? There's a balance to it. Anyways, I just wanted to touch on that selfish thing, though.
Yeah, I'm glad you did because I agree. Even though I started out that way. But that's how I view it, though.
Yes, and so I understand.
I'm glad you bring it up because when you explain it like that, I'm
hey. I understand.
And also, you broke it down. You broke it down for me really easily in that, you know, we already talked about for you, the type of person you are, you are pretty content. When you have the things that you need, you're content. For me, like you also said, I'm trying to do all of these things at the same time and I get caught up in it and then I forget and neglect myself, and then I'm like not happy.
Yeah.
And then
I think that touches on the checklist way of living.
Yeah.
I guess you were kind of a little bit raised that way.
Goal oriented, assignment based. Like, you know,
I mean, she accomplishes a great many things in her day.
I get a
but
lot
sometimes
of
it's,
done.
But sometimes, but that's fine in a day. But when you draw that out over a few months, then it becomes very detrimental to your well being.
Yeah.
And
we know people. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just gonna say we know people outside of ourselves. In our small circles that are like that, where they accomplish all these things, and then at the end of the day, they're sitting there wondering why they're not happy and sad, and something's wrong. And it's just, I think it's just, well, you've been focused so much on your list and all the things you have to get done that you haven't been taking care of the vessel that allows you to get these things done. And they go, huh? The vessel, that's you. Oh, you should start a. I don't know.
What?
I forgot what the word is for that thing. Start a school of meditation.
Oh, were you trying to think of like monk? Like a.
I forgot what they're called.
Oh,
monastery leaf. It's not a monastery leaf. Monastery. Isn't that something?
It sounds really familiar.
Anyways, if you get lost, you know. If you're so focused on your checklist and you neglect the vessel which allows you to get those things done, aka yourself, then you'll end up being unhappy. I mean, I've even experienced that myself. Yeah, I'm a human being. So even though I think I'm prone to being more content than somebody else, I have definitely had periods of time where I'm working two jobs, I'm going to school, I've done my homework, I've done this, now I'm taking care of my kids, and then the day's over. And then starts the escapism, and that's how you know something's wrong. But it has to do with happiness, because you're not happy doing what you're doing from the time you wake up until the time you get home and you can actually take a break. So you eat your donuts and your chips and you watch a movie. Until you can't anymore and you go to sleep.
Specifically powdered and specifically yes, I like powdered hot Cheetos. Donuts.
So I've gone through these. So I'm just saying. The checklist thing. So along with just being selfish, I don't think you need... It's being selfish, just take care of yourself and then help other people out. And just don't get fixated on the checklist.
I'm really glad you brought that up. Gosh, I just feel like you're like describing me. I just feel like you're talking about me.
We've been together for some time.
This is where you get your experience from, huh? From me. with the checklist, because that is a really great when I start off, you know what, I start off really happy. I do have a happy spirit about me, but then I like get fixated on like I'm like I am happy because we have this new goal, we want to do this. I'm super excited, I'm like top of the hill, this is amazing.
This is also how she sounds when she gets excited.
I'm getting excited just thinking about it. And then I'm like, okay, these are all the things that we have to do. So I'm like, yeah, super excited. And then I start doing all those things. And then I start falling behind in some of those things. And then I'm like, we didn't get that one thing done today. And then I start getting stressed about all the things. And it's just a snowballing
vicious
down
cycle.
The hill until all of a sudden I lost the joy of why I started the checklist to begin with. Oh my gosh, I feel like that sums up my life so perfectly. Yeah. Pretty much a lot of things I do, I like start off there and then it snowballs because I get so caught up in all of the
steps.
Well,
I think it's just because
the initial sight.
I mean, you do get kind of it's rewarding to accomplish something that you set out to. You create a goal and you accomplish it, you get a high.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's like a short-term happiness.
Yeah.
And in exchange, but you got to make sure you're not trading out the long-term happiness. So with Hawaiian language, when like it is, I think there's just times where I forget, like when we first decided, and there have been such highs and happy times of like learning Hawaiian. And there's also been times where we've just gotten so into of certain aspects of it. And it's just taking the fun out. That's another thing I have a tendency to take the fun out of things, but like you can lose the joy of learning something and then that's not a good place to be in if you're trying to learn or succeed.
Did you have a specific experience with that?
Well, yeah. I have some experiences of how learning Hawaiian has made us happy. I think, honestly, one of the first ones is... Well, I guess I have to go back to... I don't don't know really how to share this sensitively, in a sensitive way, but when Malu and I got married, it was a little bit rocky with the integration of Malu into the extended family. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's pretty common though.
Okay, good. For that. So it was a little bit rocky, and that was like one of the first times that I like really, really did something for myself, and that wasn't maybe gonna make everyone that I cared about the most like very, very happy. Anyways, I'm trying to get at, so that was like a first, that was like a breakout moment for me where I was like, I, even if this doesn't make other people happy, I want this. So I bring that up because that was like the first time I really experienced that. But then going into learning Hawaiian, that would honestly be probably like the second time I experienced that, because, you know, being raised in Hawaii and Kailua, and I mean, I even went to Kamehameha. I was not raised thinking I was going to ever speak Hawaiian. Never crossed my mind. In high school, it was like a, you know, 2-year course. It was another class. I went to college. I told people, I didn't learn Hawaiian. I'm never going to use that language. You know, I didn't at all. It was not a belief of mine. So to then flip a switch and then, you know, think, I don't care that this is what everyone else around me thinks. I want to learn this language, and I want it to be the first language of my children, not common. That was another breakout moment for me where I was doing something for myself. And that was for me. I don't know. And so I guess what I was saying, summing that up, was doing that brought me an extreme amount of freedom. I mean, not day one. It was awkward. You know, there were times where it's like people would ask me, and my parents asked me questions like, why would you do that? Like, how, not like in that way probably, but like, oh, why would you teach Hawaiian to your kids? Like, what about school? You know, we got those questions and stuff. Coming from places of genuine love and care. But, it took some getting used to, but the second I was able to really own, this is what we do and we want to do this and we are doing this, it brought me a lot of happiness to have that kind of independence from this norm. Do you have a moment of happiness in learning Hawaiian? Story you want to share? What makes you happy learning Hawaiian?
I just enjoy studying it initially. I enjoyed studying it. That made me happy, I guess. But it's not the same kind of happy as, like, just generally in life. I was already pretty happy, you know. It was an add-on. Like I said, I just added it to my life. I was in a good place, and we started learning.
Well, let's talk about languages and why they make you happy. Because you don't just go study any sort of thing. Malu's learned Amharic, and he's learned Hawaiian, and he has done really well in learning both. Why... There must be some level of happiness. Like, why do languages make you happy? Learning languages make you happy.
I don't know if I've articulated that enough to be able to explain it with great clarity. It's just very interesting to me.
Okay, what's interesting about it?
I think a huge thing is just the way that people express themselves in different languages. That one is one of the most fascinating things to me, where... In one language, they can have a certain phrase that they say, like in Amharic, for example, which is the national language of Ethiopia, if people don't know, because I had no idea until I went there. They have a phrase. I don't want to butcher it, because maybe one of them are going to hear it. Abish is going to hear me say it. It was something like, I don't know. I can't remember the whole thing. But it meant kind of like... Bit by bit or slowly, the egg will walk. And when you hear that, it's like...
You want to try it one more time in Amharic?
No, I can't remember the bits in the middle. Anyways, but like bit by bit and then the egg will walk. It's like, okay, interesting. Why would they think... And why is a chicken... Why a chicken? Why not something else? But it essentially just meant like... And they would say it when we were... To me, I think the first time I heard it was like me learning Amharic, and native speakers that I was trying to talk to, they were impressed that I was learning. They encouraged me, and I was like, sorry, I'm not very good. I can kind of understand what you're saying. They're like, no worries. And then they would say that phrase, which was essentially like, you'll get it eventually, right? So that was that. There's a phrase there. And in Hawaiian, you have phrases that don't really exist in English. And some of them you can conceptualize, and others just you can't, it's not part of English, of an English speaking person's life, unless they were Hawaiian or lived here and they experienced the culture enough, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's one yesterday we were walking and we heard the sound of a very specific bird, but it's a native bird. And I thought of this Hawaiian phrase, which, if I'm not mistaken, it goes, he'he'u naka'alai, which is, I don't know how to translate that, like palatably. I don't have the book in front of me. But essentially the sound of the alai bird. And when you hear that, it was to warn you that something bad is around the corner, right? But you don't have an alai bird in Alaska, and you don't have that in California. And so,
and even that just belief, that mentality of seeing birds as omens and sounds.
Yeah. So that for me is just very intriguing.
So what it sounds like is you find people interesting, which is, I know you, also very true. And so
I like to observe people.
Language is like a conduit of,
yeah,
of people, yeah, and I guess cultures. So.
Yeah, because it's like it's the eye to the soul, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they call it the language is at the root of every culture. So if you learn the language, then you can understand the mentality, and you can understand more easily cultural practices and the reason why they did certain things. And then if you pick up something like hula, then it just illuminates everything, the chants and things that you'll learn, the steps that you'll learn. Well, without Hawaiian, then you do not have those specific words, which then, in turn, you do not have an insight into the culture itself.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting you'd bring that up, because just today I was sitting here working, and I was like, I don't know what, I think I saw something Kamehameha popped up. And in my head, I was like, I can't believe that I never knew Kamehameha means the lonely one. Like, I was like, I went to that school, I took language classes, like, he's so famous in Hawaii. Like, how did I not know?
While you were going to school, you didn't know.
Before I started learning Hawaiian with you, and even, like, into it, I still always just thought, like, it's a name. And maybe there was a class where they said it, mm-hmm. but it didn't mean the same, because I didn't speak the language. And then now when I look at the name, I don't see Kamehameha, the name. I see
the meaning.
I see the meaning of the name. I see, like, the lonely one. And when I think of, like, it's incorporated now into his name and who he was and all these things, is he, you know, being the lonely one. It tells so much more about him.
Well, there's a whole story behind just that one name. He has so many names, but there's a huge story behind that name.
Well, and a lot of, any Hawaiian name, period. But, like, well, even learning Hawaiian, like, Luna Lilo.
Not all of them. Some of them are just pulled from the dictionary.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. But I mean.
You know what I mean.
Okay. I know what you mean. And you know what
we know it. We get it.
But, like, Luna Lilo, like, he was going to be so high that he was lost in the clouds. It was like what, I'm not directly quoting that, but what I read about, like, the meaning of his name and just, like, understanding what Lilo means and Luna, like, all of those things. When I hear those names,
very
I see them
high and lofty
and read those things, it just means something so different than before when I didn't know the language.
I mean, that's a good thing to touch on, of just names. I mean, I was talking about phrases in different languages, but names is another thing.
Yeah.
Amharic names were the same as Hawaiian names.
Oh, where they had meaning?
Yeah. Like,
we're not going to delve too much. Don't go too deep into names.
But the word would, like, but their name would be, like, testify, and that, I can't remember. But words of, like, faith and hope were the names of the people. And then when you'd speak, you would use those words.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wait, that's that dude's name. So Hawaiian is the same, of where there is, like, so much more meaning, whereas in Western culture, my name is Matthew. What does that mean? It's my name. End of story.
Yeah, which actually, if you want to bring that up, we'll do
anyways,
a whole episode on names.
No, you touched on it. I was just adding
Matthew
my two
has
cents.
A name. It's just not. It's really far back into. Anyways, we'll talk about names
Western
in another.
Society.
In another.
Yeah, Western Society.
We'll talk about names in another episode.
Fine. Next,
you guys all for sure want to listen to that episode now, because it sure piqued your interest there. But you interrupted my train of thought there with you were talking about hula and just how learning a language is the eye to the soul,
the core of the culture. It's
So that Okay, great. So that sounds like that's what interests you. It brings you happiness to have that kind of insight into the Hawaiian people mm-hmm. and their culture and all of those things brings you happiness. We're actually all out of time for this episode. So I do think like we didn't get to talk about all the different things, all the different examples I have of how learning Hawaiian has made me happy. But I will end on one that brings me a lot of happiness and then you can add in.
Okay. What is it?
Something that has made me so happy with learning Hawaiian continually is seeing our children speak it. That is one of the greatest happinesses with learning.
Joys.
One of the greatest joys of learning Hawaiian is seeing when our children are speaking it to us, to each other, to themselves. Like seeing that, and I think for me especially because like it's the part of me that I that connects me to my papa, someone who my only grandparent I didn't get to spend much time with because he passed away first, and his mother who was a native speaker and lived on Kauai. It gives me that sense of connection and to be able to see, so that connection being lost and then us bringing it back and then seeing it in our children, just wow, it makes me feel like all the generations
are connected.
And it's just really, it's very fulfilling to see our children. Interesting.
Because before you said that, I was thinking, what's the last thing that I would say? And that's exactly what it was. Because that's really what, well, for a Hawaiian, by like if you're Hawaiian by genealogy, I mean, connection is always something that you seek after when you've been disconnected, which at this point in time is most of us,
mm-hmm.
right? So being able to connect in a very real sense, because I've had so many people reach out to me saying, you know, where can I learn Hawaiian? I've started learning Hawaiian. I've done hula for 15 years. I just have no idea what I'm chanting. And then their revelation at the end when they finally mm-hmm. can understand what's going on. And the reason why that's so powerful for them is because of that connection. If you're just spitting out words you don't understand, there's really not much connection that goes on there.
You know, I wouldn't say zero, but not as much. I wouldn't even put an amount, but just not as much.
I was just trying to express the idea, but it's...
Because I'll say there's always going to be that connection.
It's just very limited, I guess. Fine. Maybe it's very limited. You're getting... Yeah. I mean, if you don't speak it, no, I don't remember what I was saying. Anyways, but people that have shared their experience with me where they've done hula for so many years, but they can't speak. And I have another student right now, same thing. She's mm-hmm. done hula for years, sung Hawaiian songs, but does not understand them. And so she's not at that point right now where she can really grasp. But it's the same story with everybody that has that similar experiences. That's a connection that you always want. Because you'd never had it. It's something you yearn for, something mm-hmm. you long for. And when the day comes when you can really open up the minds of your ancestors and the culture that they came from, I mean, that's a lot of power. And along with our kids, there's so much power that comes with us going on a walk like we did yesterday. And I can tell PD certain things and explain it all in Hawaiian. It's just, mm-hmm. She's like, hey, look, the sun's over there. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's going down. And behind those cliffs, and I know all these words, and I'm like, I can explain this to my daughter, you know. That makes me very happy. It's an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
On another level, it's a connection to my culture, and then it's a relationship and connection I have with mm-hmm. my own daughter. I mean, there's so many layers, you know.
Makes us so happy.
Anyways.
Okay, so I do have one more thing to add in that. Not everyone has children, so I just wanted to add on that you can have that kind of happiness and provide that whether you are a kumuhula or a kumuata school, like, you know, you have same thing, have that chance to provide those that experience for others. So I guess if you're listening to this and you're in one of those roles of not a parent, but you have influence influence around other people and you know Hawaiian, I mean, maybe consider how you can use that in those situations as well.
I mean, you're not going to have the exact life that we have or the same familial setup. I mean, there's joy in talking to friends that you have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I guess the more relationships that you have.
Connections, not, yeah. exactly word for word from everything that we say, but
everybody's make up.
Everything in life is pretty similar. We all have similar feelings and hopes and dreams. So find from our stories things that you can apply to yourself.
And you'll have to make that community. We built our community, which is our family, and then we've built onto it. But yeah, everybody that's learning Hawaiian or perpetuating now, you have to build your own community. So it's not going to look exactly like ours. But yeah,
don't
you can find
discourage
those.
Discourage you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't let that get in the way of your happiness.
And be happy.
And searching and learning this language.
So.
Yeah.
Mahalo. Mahalo for listening. That's it for for episode 4. Tune in again next week. Episode 5.
Okay. Mahalo ki iwi ano. Aloha.